We'll begin with the Heartsick Sutra in English on page 2. And then the mandala offering beginning on page 12. And then after the mandala offering, the refuge prayer on page 22. Thus I have heard. At one time, the Blessed One was dwelling in the royal domain of Bhakshapitam, with a great gathering of monks and great assembly of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One was absorbed in the samadhi of the many aspects of phenomena called the final appearance. At the same time, noble Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva Mahasattva, looking at the practice of the profound perfection wisdom, saw the five skandhas in their natural appearance. Then, through the power of the Buddha, Venerable Shariputra said to the noble Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva Mahasattva, how should a son of a lineage train who wishes to follow the practice of the profound perfection wisdom? Thus he spoke, and the noble Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva Mahasattva answered the Venerable Shariputra with these words. Shariputra, those men and women of the lineage who wish to practice the profound perfection of wisdom should look at it like this. Five skandhas should be seen purely in their natural emptiness. Form is empty. Emptiness is form. Emptiness is not other than form. Form also is not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, recognition, compositional factors, and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, like this, all phenomena are emptiness, and have no characteristics, born and unceasing. They are not impure or pure. They neither decrease nor increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no recognition, no compositional factors, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no sensation, no phenomena. There is no quality of sight, and so on, until no quality of mind and no quality of mental consciousness. There is no ignorance and no exhaustion of ignorance, and so on, up to the old age of death, and no exhaustion of old age of death. In the same way, there is no suffering, no origin, no ending, and no path. No wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since there is no attainment, bodhisattvas rely on and abide by means of the profound perfection of wisdom. And since their minds have no obscurations, they have no fear. Transcending falsity, they attain nirvana. All the Buddhas who dwell in the three times have relied upon the perfection of wisdom, and have become true and complete Buddhas and unsurpassable, perfect, and complete enlightenment. Therefore, the mantra of the profound perfection, the mantra of insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequaled mantra, the mantra which calms all suffering should be known as truth, where it is not deceptive. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is proclaimed. Heyata om gate 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 arasam gate bodhi soha. Shariputra, this is how a bodhisattva mahasattva is trained in the profound perfection of wisdom. Then the Blessed One arose from that samadhi and said to the bodhisattva mahasattva, noble Avalokiteshvara, that he has spoken well. Well done, well done, O son of the lineage, it is so. O son of the lineage, since it is just so, the profound perfection of wisdom should be practiced just as you have taught, and the Tathagatas will also rejoice. And the Blessed One has said this, Noble Sharadvatiputra, and Noble Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva Mahasattva, and the entire gathering, as well as worldly beings, gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas, rejoice and praise the words of the Blessed One. Page 12. Om Denza Bumi Om Vanchen Seji Saji Om Denza Thank you.
So today we will be discussing on taking refuge in three jewels. It is important because whether one becomes an actual practitioner of the Dharma or not, it's actually determined by whether one is able to take refuge in three jewels wholeheartedly and properly. So therefore, not only that I will be speaking about refuge, three objects of refuge, the three jewels, but also I'm expecting questions from all of you with regard to three jewels.
That's all. ကန္နနော်ဒါဒီခေခရှင်ကြီးတာမုံဘုရားတာလာမလာကျုစီယံကြီးဘီကြီးဒီတေကနေတာငါဆိုလာမဆင်းရတဲ့ရာကြီးတင်လာစံကြီးကစားလေငါဆိုချီကြီးရဲ့ကြွတ်တင်တဲ့သူ့နဲ့တကားရီစနဲ့ရာကြီးကြီးချီနေစံကြီးကစားလေမတော်ကရာကြီးကိုနေမုံးတွေရေကြီးအဲ့တင်တဲ့နေမုံးတွေတာဝကြီးကန်
So practice of Dharma starting from taking refuge in teachings. The sole purpose of those practices is to is to overcome delusions or the mental afflictions. And it is through purification or the elimination of those delusions, one is said to be gained the state of enlightenment. So to gain state of enlightenment, there are a lot of obstacles, hindrance on the path to enlightenment. So all of those hindrance are not something that is external entity, but rather those are all within our own mind. So main purpose of practicing Dharma, right from the beginning of taking refuge in Chi Jewels, all the way to the state of enlightenment, is to subdue one's mind, one's negative state of mind. So, when we talk about taking refuge in teachings, here we take refuge in Guru, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. So, Guru is seen as a in the nature of Buddha, and then Dharma, jewel Dharma, and then the Sangha. Those are the three objects. One could also recite, when you are reciting those refuge, you know, taking refuge, one can add Guru. I take refuge in Guru in the beginning, and I take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Or one can also recite without adding a Guru on top. Without adding a Guru, one can say Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, because Buddha is the one who encapsulates entire Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and so one can see Buddha as one's own Guru. And if you take refuge in, if you add Guru in the beginning, I take refuge in Guru, and then one can see Guru as the embodiment of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, same thing. And in fact, the Guru is said to be the manifestation of the Buddha. So this is the first object. to whom we take refuge. And the second is I take refuge in Dharma, which is the most important refuge. Because Dharma is said to be the actual refuge. Why it is said to be actual refuge is because it is through Dharma one is able to eradicate delusions. And Dharma is the one that actually becomes a direct remedy, the direct remedy to one's delusions and negative thoughts and emotions. And so that's why the Dharma is said to be the actual refuge. And because all of this, you know, obstacles we talked about earlier, obstacles to enlightenment are within our mind. And all these obstacles need to be purified or needs to be eliminated by means of Dharma. And without Dharma, there's simply no way that one can actually have a battle with the delusions. After all, our purpose of practicing Dharma is to, you know, engage with the, you know, as a have a in a battle with one's own negative thoughts and emotions. So to have, in order to overcome these, you know, obstacles and hindrances, one need to take refuge in Dharma by proper understanding of what is really mean by dual Dharma, which is the truth of path and cessation. Cessation from sufferings. These two are said to be the actual Dharma. And so then one take refuge in and Sangha, who assess oneself, who assess us when one is processing on the path to state of enlightenment. So, so therefore, first, when we talk about taking refuge in schedules, it is important to identify who those objects of refuge are, what those objects of refuge are, what kind of functions of those objects of refuge are, what kind of result that one may gain by means of taking refuge in schedules, which is, that is very important. And as we mentioned earlier, that our main purpose of taking refuge in schedules or the practice of Dharma is to overcome, eradicate, you know, delusions or the maripa, which is the ignorance. Ignorance can be eradicated by means of cultivating the wisdom that understands actual mode of existence of phenomena.
我等当跟着那觉得就没给跟着那觉得钱已经跟着的了，而且当大把刚刚的跟着这个，当跟着那觉得钱已经就送过的，跟着过去的，当那个东宁公司都倒出去，那我这个他妈，这个俺这家他妈妈都他妈买一把，他妈买一把这个，俺让这让俺的马主把那去让俺的主办点的了，等到。 蓝天，东宁公司这边蓝天这个，那个蓝天的马主吧，都东宁公司做了这个，那个蓝天的马主吧，我送都多吧，但俺就，大了天的，等那个他妈张，俺这米皮个做了吧，大那个多那个的了嘛，那东宁公司都等到多那个给了，那蓝天是蓝天，俺一点吧，我大天送的，那俺这个酒里，那俺这。 亏你们得了，那俺这个，他妈买的吧，在那些地区，那俺这上级给啥来嘛？都去办到了。那当不能当兵的去啊的，那个喇嘛了去上级，喇嘛在那栏杆，喇嘛栏杆顶杆的，上级上栏杆顶杆去的。那过点蓝天的上级就上了，到这个栏杆的了。 lama sanji chula chidin, gintian la chidin, or lama la chidin, sanji la chidin, chula chidin, chua chula nandi yinji, langa andabar. In gintian la chidin jayki, but then sanji ki sali andruha la nganzo, langa la troji hai samdram, mibi tata samdram, kuna da pa kecha tata, mibi tata da la nganzo, me yapun da pa chidin, hojin yapu jingin chidin, suza la tanda cha yiro, o tanda ji chidin, in gintian la chidin, chidin, kuchu sunga guya tanda tanda gan. Te kunju sula ya chio chidin, de ni ngan, Nisung Dunulan Jiki Taga to Tala Chubby Nibalama Conjurisola Yopa, Yiki Tipa Timbu Chesuna, and then under 200 Jula Chabadi is what is it? Nabasanjua is.
So here again, it is important to important to understand the difference between the Sangha and the Jual Sangha, which is the part of, object of refuge. So Jual Sangha is, Jual Sangha, he refers to the individual who have at least gained the realization of a path of seeing, Panglam, which is the path of seeing. And that onwards, one who has gained such a realization within the oneself is considered as the Jual Sangha. And not for all of the sanghas, such as sangha who just mere having their ordained vows cannot be qualified as a jual sangha. It is sangha, but not a jual sangha. So jual sangha must have a qualification or the criteria of to become a jual sangha is to at least individual must achieve the path of seeing and onwards is said to be the Jual Sangha. And so it is by following their footsteps of the Jual Sangha, we then be able to embark upon the path to enlightenment. How those, Jual Sanghas have gained their realization, their spiritual realizations, and then in what manner that Jual Sanghas have actually gained the spiritual realizations, and how they have actually achieved the path of seeing within their continuum. And by following and by looking at them and setting them as our model and then following them is actually leading those Sangha is the one who actually lead us to the path, in a spiritual path. And it is through the progression of one's spiritual path that one will gain the state of enlightenment. So so for us, when we talk about taking refuge in three jewels, one must at least have a fear of falling into law realms and seeking to, seeking a protection from these law realms and finding a power in three jewels and petitioning them to be a one's own protection. And this is the least qualification that which requires one's own to become an actual practitioner of the Dharma. So here when we speak about taking refuge in two jewels, so we actually you know, talks about two kind of refuge. Here's a causal refuge and the resultant refuge. So what is a causal refuge? It's a causal refuge is someone who has already gained the state of enlightenment to whom we take refuge right now. And the resultant refuge is the one's own enlightenment. So you're not only taking refuge in three jewels and submitting yourself totally to the three jewels, but rather you have actually a potential within yourself to become yourself as a three jewels. So that is the, you know, the purpose of taking refuge in three jewels. And this is very important for one to actually understand that when we speak about taking refuge in three jewels, it is not that you will always remain as someone who is seeking refuge. And you will always, you know, look for someone who can really protect you from fear. But rather, your main purpose of, you know, looking for the protection is yourself. You yourself has the potential within yourself to actually become this, you know, object of refuge, three jewels. When we speak about taking refuge in Chijos, the faith is very important. Faith is very important, but again, faith alone is not sufficient. We need to know about the reasonings, and you have to have a rationale behind taking refuge in Chijos. And if you take refuge in Chijos, faith based on reasoning, then you are really taking refuge in Chijos. You are taking refuge in Chijos, become very stable and authentic. In other words, the faith alone is not really a... of course, the faith plays a very important role in our spiritual practice, but the faith alone is not sufficient. So it is therefore, if you look at our founding teacher, Buddha Shakyamuni, who have gained state of enlightenment, and now his enlightenment is not something that coming into being from nowhere. It has multiple causes and conditions. First, Buddha, according to the, you know, the history, the conventional history, Buddha, as you all know, Buddha was born as a prince, and who is actually, enjoying the princely existence. However, that such a mundane, you know, comforts and the mundane happiness is something that is not really complete for him. So therefore, he was seeking something that really, you know, leads himself, leads to the ultimate state of happiness. And it is through his, you know, efforts, and he was able to find the way out of this samsaric existence. It is by understanding ultimate nature of reality, or the actual mode of existence of phenomena. So there, it is by understanding that, then he not only just he had this intellectual understanding of how things really are, but he actually, you know, undertook the very long time, you know, meditation on ultimate nature of reality. It is through the perfection of his understanding of ultimate nature of reality, he was able to then free himself from total, the total sufferings, or in other words, the cyclic existence. So therefore, if you look at how those past enlightened beings, they really become enlightened, is went through all those processes. There's a process of you know, gaining the state of enlightenment. It's not just something that you have become enlightenment, you know, from overnight, or you are primordially enlightened. That is not what what we must understand about the achievement of enlightenment.
で、じゃあ、けど、ネモ、だんだん、あんた、さんじまで。で、じゃあ、けど、ネモ、考えて、せんで、つ、ディンで、せん、せん、あんた、て、て、こん、せんで。あげ、くろ、あげ、ゆえさばで、え、じゃまなね、せん、で、じゃあ、けど、ティモ、て、さ、考えて、え、この、ロボ、ロボ、て、たな、せ、じゃあ、ね、こん、と、と、ね、あんた、じろ、こん、と、じん、うん、あんた、じゃあ、じ、うん、で、じゃあ、じ、て、り、き、ロボ、ロボ、か、と、か、と、せ、じゃあ、し、ディンで、ま、と、じ、け、あんた、ネモ、て、そ、考えて、て、ディ、て、たな、あんた、こわ、こん、で、ま、と、じ、け、
So we all have, regardless of who we are, we all have a potential to gain state of enlightenment. So the actual seeds of gaining state of enlightenment is within us. So it is up to us now whether we would like to nurture the seeds, how you really, you know, bring up the seeds. If one really wants to, bring a sprout from their seeds, we need to make an effort to do something to bring about sprouts. And then finally, you know, bears their fruits, which is the state of enlightenment. So now it is really up to us whether we really cherish this the seed of enlightenment within us. So therefore, all of us possess this, you know, the potential for gaining state of enlightenment. Therefore, in the sutra, Buddha has stated, the nature of mind is luminous, the afflictions or the delusions are the advantages. What it really says here is, regardless of how, you know, the intense or how powerful those negative thoughts and emotions may be at this time, but they are not primarily existed. They are all advantages, and it can be removed. So it is based on that, based on this understanding, the possibility of gaining the statement, enlightenment, is within us, within all of us. Though at this time, our nature of our mind is completely obscured by the layers, very thick, the layers and layers of negative thoughts and emotions. But they are not actually, exist oneness with one's own mind, one's own nature mind, nature of one's own mind. And our nature of our mind is not actually soiled by them. They're mere, obscured, and in other words, it's covered. They just covered our nature of our mind, but not really soiled our mind. So therefore, possibility of, it is by this understanding that one can see there's a possibility that one can actually remove all those negative thoughts and emotions. And once you're able to, remove all the negative thoughts and emotions, then that's the state of enlightenment. The state of enlightenment is made on the basis of whether or not, the state of mind. It's not really based on how the person looks like. So it is this jama, which means obstacles or the sins of our mind that obscure us from prevent us from knowing actual mode of existence of things and event, self and phenomena, in other words. So, which then give rise to all kind of negative thoughts and emotions. This is how our nature of our mind is actually obscured. This is how those negative thoughts and emotions are piling up in a very thick layers, layer after layers. How it happens is because it is because of not understanding how things really are and how things appear to oneself, including one's own self. What is the ultimate nature of oneself? What is the mode of existence of oneself? It is lack of this understanding we are generating all kind of negative thoughts and emotions oneself. Within oneself, which then follows all those actions, and since those actions are actually derived by negative thoughts and emotions, then actions itself, the nature of the action itself, is a negative. And if you engage in that, negative actions, you accumulate negative karma. If you accumulate negative karma, as a result, you will be wandering within the cyclic existence. And this is how we are actually, you know, trapped ourselves within the cyclic existence, not understanding how things really are, and how, who we really are. So that is the main problem for us. So therefore, when you look at all the teachings of the Buddha, particularly the Mahayana teachings, you wouldn't find any teachings that doesn't actually mention about understanding of emptiness, or the actual mode of existence of self and phenomena, and the cultivation of bodhicitta. It is the combination of those two mental quality, one that understands actual mode of existence, which then conjoin with the cultivation of bodhicitta. It is through the perfection of these two, one will then gain the state of enlightenment. So right from the beginning last time up until now, we have remained under the control of this delusions and karma. It is because of not being able to understand how things appear to oneself and how things really are. And how things appear to, and how, you know, self appears to oneself and how self really are. It is because of these misunderstandings or the misknowing of self and phenomena which prevents us from understanding actual mode of existence of self or phenomena. This then gives rise to all kinds of negative thoughts and emotions. And led us to revolve within this unenlightened existence. So now here, practicing Dharma is to actually the step. You're actually by stepping forward to understand this actual mode of self, of self and phenomena, and cultivation of bodhicitta. Practicing Dharma does not really mean mere reciting mantras and reciting sadhanas or just by silent meditations. You will know by your own experience whether your practice becomes really a dharmic practice or not. It entirely depends upon is such a practice, whether it is such a practice is really becoming a remedy towards one's own delusions, negative thoughts and emotions. So just by one meditation or the practice will not be able to actually eradicate entire delusions, because when you speak about delusions, the delusions that we have is the accumulation that this, the way that we have accumulated those delusions from the beginning of this time. It is something that we can't really imagine ourselves how powerful and how intense those delusions are. So we need to look at the gross levels of delusions in the beginning through one's own practice of the Dharma, whether you're able to, you know, lessen your, you know, anger, hatred, and whether you're able to develop your love and compassion towards other beings. If you really find within yourself you have made a little development, a little improvement about, you know, a sense of caring for others, sense of connectedness with others, and lessening your anger, hatred, jealousy, a sense of competitiveness, and so on, then you are actually practicing Dharma. Otherwise, reciting mantras and reading sutras and you know, sadhanas, of course, they are, you know, great, and they are very precious, dharma. But this will not really become a remedy for your delusions. If it doesn't really become a remedy for your delusions, then it's not actually a dharma practice. Period. So therefore, so first it says one must listen to the teachings of the Dharma. And whatever the teachings that you have listened need to be contemplated. And this then will follow by the intense meditations. It is through this listening, contemplation, and meditation will understand what is more of existence of phenomena and self. This will then lead oneself to the liberation from samsara.
Then 我都是记得，你去掉了，你刚才知道你给我搞的艰难的，看你看见艰难的，搞的艰难的，那你叫我吃嘛了？俺这个这里便宜点的，你上次去的几个人嘛，趁这里接不完的，接不完就那去买那些个。你叫我吃嘛了？便宜些，买了先把东南的，等那吃个清白艰难的，搞的艰难的，你说说看见艰难的，搞的艰难的这几个个的。我在哪天几个呢？
所以，as a practitioner of the Dharma, if one considers oneself as a practitioner of Dharma, right from the beginning of one's day in the morning, it's very important to cultivate a positive motivations. That's a very, very important because it's a very, you know, evidence, but if one's mind is distracted early in the morning, so your day will be ruined, and there's no, you know, it's very difficult for one to actually cultivate positive state of mind. So therefore, we have a better chance to be able to actually cultivate a positive mind in the morning, because early morning, when you woke up from the bed, as soon as you woke up, try to think about the qualities of the Buddha: compassion, wisdom. All of these qualities of the Buddha, compassion towards all other sentient beings equally, wisdom that understands all phenomena within the palm of his hand. And so think about all those, you know, the qualities of the Buddha, and then one cultivates a fervent faith and devotion to the Buddha. So with this, one then try to, you know, meditate on compassion, love. And this is how we need to begin our, you know, our day as a practitioner. Because right from the beginning, when we wake up from the bed, if one's mind is completely influenced by the mundane concerns, then it is very hard for us to actually cultivate love and compassion based on the mundane concerns. Mundane concerns are mainly based on self-centered attitudes. So self-centered attitude becomes the foundation for your entire day's cultivation of motivation. So the foundation itself is very negative, fragile. And there's no way that you have such a positive development on top of it. So therefore, right from the beginning, one need to lay out a very constructive, you know, foundations upon which one can, you know, cultivate all those positive thoughts and emotions, which everything that you do will become a practice of the Dharma. Everything that you do will become a remedy or to antidote to one's own negative thoughts and emotions. So this is how we should be practicing. And this is what is meant by a practitioner.
Lingin ᱛᱮᱜᱮ ᱥᱮᱱᱫᱮ ᱫᱟᱜᱟᱨᱟᱝ ᱫᱮᱱᱤ ᱪᱟ ᱪᱷᱟᱢᱟᱞ ᱫᱩᱜᱤ ᱛᱮᱥᱚ ᱠᱟᱱᱟ ᱜᱮᱣᱟ ᱠᱟᱱ ᱥᱟᱵᱟᱫ ᱪᱟ ᱪᱷᱟᱢᱟᱞ ᱛᱮᱜᱮ ᱠᱤᱭᱟ ᱫᱮᱱᱟ ᱡᱤᱨᱚ ᱠᱷᱚᱭᱟ ᱭᱩᱨᱮ ᱞᱤᱭᱩ ᱫᱮ ᱠᱟᱨᱢᱤᱠ ᱠᱟᱨᱡᱤᱱ ᱫᱮᱨᱮᱣᱟ zang 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 zang
So it is through this practice that one is able to cultivate what we call renunciations or nyejung in the Tibetan, which is renunciations and bodhicitta and perfect view of emptiness. So all of this, you know, all of these spiritual realizations are realized by means of listening to the teachings of the Dharma, contemplating the meaning of those of what is meant by renunciations, what is meant by bodhicitta, and what is meant by emptiness. And it is through this cultivation of those what we call the three principles of the path. Perfection of the three principles of the path is the state of enlightenment. So whenever we engage in the practice of the Dharma, and one's practice of the Dharma must be done on the basis of proper understanding of renunciation, bodhicitta, and perfect view of emptiness. So if one's practice of the Dharma is carried out on the basis of proper recognition of those three qualities, that those three principles of the path, then whatever the practice, the entire practice that you have done will become a cause for liberations or liberation from samsara. In other words, your practice of the Dharma may become virtuous practice, but it may not become a cause for liberations. If one lacks understanding of those three principles of the path, it may not become, although that's a virtuous act, you have accumulated a virtuous karma, but this will not really become a cause for liberations from samsara. So here again, when we talk about, you know, taking refuge in tree jewels, of course, your taking refuge in tree jewel is based on on the development of authentic renunciations. Certainly, that's the best way of taking refuge in tree jewels. But for us, we as initial practitioners, or the ordinary practitioners, and such a renunciation is very difficult with us. So, refuge, you know, you are taking refuge as a two causes. One is to your fear, your fear of the suffering of the lower realms. And then one is the fervent faith in three jewels, who possess the powers to actually protect you from those three sufferings. And that is, if you have taken refuge in three jewels, based on these two, completing these two causes, then you are taking refuge in three jewels perfectly. And of course, the renunciation for us, our way of cultivating renunciation is what we call that is a partial renunciation at this point. And then the simultaneous renunciation, or we call it the natural renunciation, is something very difficult for all of us at this time. But we have to strive to cultivate. We have to always prayer and have a great hope to actually able to cultivate this perfect renunciation within oneself. Yeah, sure.
Should he recommend the way one should think, or what mantra or what prayer to do to support you in your daily effort to have better renunciation?
That's your neighbor, dear. She can. That's a susu gulia, the Namjin Tawane, Nijung Tambakia, Nijunglia. Temple Kuechi, Kumachi, Nijun Kelly, Kumachi, Telia, Tachi, Namjun Shinder of Kovina, Shinder Karikoni Agres, Marif Temben and Mark Karitani Agres.
In then a carriage. Nanjun the Kimuli and Quali Nibanjun and then Quality with Tabanis Antongua. 200 a gagamare.
That's all.
She carried Gil Logit.
That's all. That's all. So, the best method to think about renunciation is to have a proper understanding of the faults of cyclic existence. As long as you have the proper understanding of how faulty this, inappropriate, or you could say how imperfect this cyclic existence, nature of cyclic existence. And once you have this within you and remember this all the time, then though that your renunciation may not be able to, may not be qualified as a perfect renunciation, but you have actually assimilated what we call kind of renunciations. It is because of those renunciations, then over time, and this the renunciation that is called assimilated renunciation that you have cultivated, can then be able to become actual renunciations. So then, of course, this is one thing, but also but reciting mantras or reciting prayers to Gishila to come and to do this, reviewing the path of the Lama Chöpa. It's pretty long, but it's a really, really good verses that really makes you understand why you really seek renunciation.
What was it again?
Reviewing the path of Lama Chöpa. After the offerings. All the talk offerings is in Shinsho Dhamma. It's called Shinsho Dhamma. It is abbreviate Lamrim in other words. It's a really good one.
Shinsho Dhamma?
Shinsho Dhamma.
Yes. Jizong Yun Ding Jiro Tang and Tsendelo Ji Hibu Jun Jalong Jupuran, the Tsendel Chang Chang, the Sound Don, the Tsendel.
So this is our too much clinging and cherishing of this life alone is the main obstacle for cultivating renunciations. And if we think about this present life is everything, you know, whatever that you have to do, you have to do to support our life, and you're only focusing on, you know, the present life, and do whatever you do is to really to, you know, to benefit one's present life, and this is really one of the great obstacles for cultivating renunciation.
I've heard it said that in the 70s, that's a monk that has said that in the 70s he heard the Dalai Lama saying that since it is hard for us to cultivate this perfect renunciation, he recommended that we go 50-50, you know, in terms of how we focus on our lives. We devote, you know, we have to eat, we have to, you know, do different tasks to maintain this life, but he felt that if we can do 50-50, that would be a good thing. Can you comment on that, how that might look like for us?
Mm-hmm. So here it is important to understand when we speak about renunciations, that doesn't really, you know, suggest you to let go of everything. That's not actually, you know, meaning of renunciations. Renunciation is the detachment towards mundane excellences, right? The mundane concerns, detachment from cyclic existence or the cyclic life, not having too much attachment towards it. That is the actual meaning of renunciations. Because renunciations, if you have to give up everything to cultivate renunciation, then we need to eat, we need to drink, and this is the reality. So in fact, in the great Kadamba's teachings, the practitioner of Dharma must maintain that of middle way, not really, you know, indulging in excessive luxury, and not really falling into the asceticism. So that of the Dharma practice must be, you know, maintained the middle way.
Well, then, the Dharma chronology, she never got done yet. The Gomba Tasong, Tabamu, Tegazi, and the Ranguan, the King, and the Canadian Donner, Sawala jing kanda gi pe gatun nang jing pinga yaris.
So if our understanding of renunciation is then if you give up everything, then the practitioners will have a very hard time. They need to eat, they need to drink, they need to wear, they need to have a shelter to stay, place and everything. Again, even like the monks and nuns who are said to be the most suitable individual to cultivate renunciations has to, go through all these hardships to actually to stay and, drink and eat and have their clothing and so on. So renunciation does not really mean you're actually giving up everything.
When we talk about sentient beings, did the Buddha include animals of different kinds? And if we include animals of different kinds, does that include even pests like squirrels and things like that, mice?
Absolutely. According to this Buddha, sentient beings and engine alia, sentient beings, the same gensegor. The same gen dinalia, Sanje dicho dinal duty or a vest. The member in any algic dundugiri, pena, the dundugiri curva, gallery down, the other dundugiri, the get some dinal duty or a vest.
Cajin, Sigin, Sigin, and all. Say, Khan and dinner. Sanjin did you, my wife? Sanjin jar Tan jawal ram mata bangandi zanda bol nama bagi mohit itu kandi sendiri. Sanji tu jawal ram tu itu dibiayu mana.
So sentient beings, the sentient beings he refers to the unenlightened beings, not the enlightened beings. So all those enlightened beings are beyond sentient beings, in other words. So of course, other animals, including squirrel, even the down to the insects, they're all part of sentient beings. Yes.
Sir, what is the proper way to? Is it okay to ask a question to the three jewels, and if so, what's the proper way to do that?
Can you repeat one second, please?
Well, sometimes when I take refuge, mm-hmm. It's like I feel anger coming on, and taking refuge helps to not get angry in a moment. But what if there's a question that we want to ponder, and what's the proper way to ask a question to the three jewels? Does that make sense?
To three jewels? Yeah. You mean, okay. There is you. That chick Susie chick Tanam Jinny Susie Sam that new monster wants someone to was. The chick Alia chick the Kaniki Jerusha Benele chick the Kondo Rigdan that Lomarung Rig the Kim War was. The Digibe Kalia and Susu Anchi Konjo Somlia the Kandeske was Susu Sambenale the Konjo Somlia to what number of seven degrees to Ophina. So it's always okay to ask a question to three jewels, but he's not very sure whether they're going to answer you or not. But Buddhas know about you and your angers and so on. If you ask questions, it's good to ask questions, but don't have the answer whether he's got the answer or not.
Just the oracle, yes.
So, being that we've talked about not renouncing all of life, such as eating, etc., how do we balance between enjoyment and attachment?
Enjoyment and attachment. 出ると、高い、ち、なんぞ、ねじゅん、けやりゃ、インジメンジ、サムロペッコン、ち、ヨクシャン、トヤチ、マラバス。
で、なんでマリ。
チェザンディ、チェルガン、レンタン、なんぞ、ち、たかわざ、なんか、ガイトン、チコウ、
チェザン、ディ
ネタ、たこい、ディニー、キャバカルシェガスタ、ガンダ、シビ、デワリア、シンジャマジオテロバス。
で、
シビ、デワリア、シンジャー、ダン、デワニー、キャバカルヨレス。
で、ロロン。I engage you in the Sidam Sayat and the Guru. Once a general or Jesu and Mopachan Yomarua. Ben, which? The Jenny Cook has there.
Quick Cabocar, Tingy Paras,
Cadibal.
Chick Shenja, Jesuva, Chavoch, Desha, Shenja, Shenja, any Devonian Cabocar. The
Ditchiva, the was in China.
カラスセブンのコーデオチキーウォーバ
ス。カラスアメクドワ
チキーウォーバス。デオディングアンドシングルバス。シェナ、エネコー、カソディ、デリシェナ、エネガンズディ、カソレ、ディ、ニジュンキアリ、ネグロバス。
ダスウンダーザジギチザーザメツン、ギグマロバ。スウンダーザ、テナジマニバモバメバジン、アジギギギギギロワ。ワッツルキアイミンディ。私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たち
は、
私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私
たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私たちは、私So here again, it is important to make a distinction between what kind of enjoyment that we are talking about. There are many different ways of enjoying. People who are enjoying, indulging in an alcohol, you know, drinking alcohol. People who are enjoying, indulging in, you know, drugs.Taking drugs and so on and so forth, for them, it is enjoying. That's enjoyment for them. But however, all those enjoyments are based on attachment, right? And then there's another type of enjoyment, is you have such a joyful experience by means of cultivating compassion. When we cultivate a perfect compassion and love within oneself,there's a feeling of satisfaction, feeling of enjoyment is there again. So one is completely tinged with attachment. Another is devoid of attachment. But they both have the same name of enjoying. So as long as you have your enjoyment is, you know, tinged with attachment, and this will become an obstacle for renunciations.And your enjoyment and joyful experience without, you know, influenced by the attachment, and this will become a cause of renunciations.
This is the same thing. I have to say, 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 I have to
say. So we as ordinary beings, we need a cloth,to wear, we need a food to eat, and that doesn't mean that we need those because of our attachment. An attachment is something that is need and something that want. Something you need and something you want is different.
There is one of my first teacher, I remember him saying in his teaching, he was giving a story about, I think it was in Europa, and he was talking to his disciple's son or something, and he said that it is not the appearance, but it is the attachment to the appearance that imprisons you into samsara.
It's not an attachment, but an appearance of apparent attachment.
Yeah, it's not the appearance, okay. It's the attachment to the appearance.
Okay. The Quran, Nyema and that Toma and the Kenlachi, some church recovery as Nyema Nyemarisha, church recovery, any the Tuchin Naruba Yuba, Tuchin Naruba. Then the Telupa again that the Loma, Naruba. Naruba ki Karsumbrasana. Call Koyagi Kutso of the Shenjak Chevomaris. Shenjak digging now what the Chavi King Chavuris. Shenjak now what you're about. Now what the Chavi King any call
calls. Tell him, tell Chandy, and draw. And then she took him with my hand.
So, this is mainly, you know, it's this actually, you know, again goes to the tantric understanding of appearance and clinging. So, this again, it is. Different, that's a little different than what we were talking here and what the Narupa has mentioned at that time. So there's a different way of, you know, recognizing even the attachment in the tantric system. So there's a different way. Even when you go through the class saying that even the two truths are explained in a different way in the tantric system. So we can't mix at this time.
Well,
So there are a lot of examples that we could see. Even now, many practitioners who are always staying away from offerings. If you make an offering, they always stay away from that. You know, they just don't want to go to the place where they're making an offering to you. And in fact, one of the great practitioners by the name of Gyoban Rinpoche, and Gyoban Rinpoche, it's a long time ago. It's Gisla. We haven't seen him, but Gisla said he was always when he was. Around the people whom he actually teach, and then they try to, you know, make an offerings and that kind of stuff, and he always run away from that. He is completely, and then even now there are many practitioners, there are some practitioners who are actually meditating in Dharamsala area. So some practitioners, they said it's too much offerings because sometimes the government of Tibetan needs the prayers and then make money offerings and samba offerings and all kind of stuff. So then a few of them actually run away from that place and they're in the border between Tibet and Nepal where nobody's there. Probably, I don't know what they're eating, but this is what Kishla thinks. So this is the actual example of what we call the renunciation. For those people, their way of, you know, renouncing. You know, they are advanced practitioners, so not for us, though.
Tendology, Sahatman, Dabodh, Tete, Chaparis, Sazan, Lajin, Jinnu,
So on the one hand, we are a practitioner, and also we are initial stage. We are on the initial stage, and we need to nurture our body, sustain our body to practice Dharma. So therefore, we need all this, you know, sufficient resources that can sustain our life to practice. And so for us, we are very, we need all of this at this time. We can't give up everything.
The real offering is the transformation of mind, right?
Okay.
Tukoy chikal lamale chobo pyo chobo bas. Chobo pyo chobo chobo di samigyo ito bas.
Udeji. Ta chiba ya pyusha na kundi drogo tuwen te gai yaman sotoko sona sasya gyo rwa. Chaba chima lo.
So, what we call this material offerings, that is, you make an offering to the Guru, such as, you know, flowers and, you know, all kinds of dresses and clothing and so on and so forth. Of course, this is also offerings, which also accumulate merits out of it. But the ultimate offering, what we call, is the practice of Dharma. The practicing of Dharma is what we call the accomplished offering. That is the main offering that really pleases one's Guru. All of those other offerings, offerings of water balls and flower offerings and light offerings and all of this become a condition for accomplishing the spiritual practice, Dharma practice, which is the main offering to the Guru that really pleases the ultimate offering to the Guru.
Isn't also one of the steps to accomplish the transformation of our mind is to do to follow what the Guru says.
So then, Suzuki, Tangaran Suzuki, the symbol Gyuwa Tayadi, Inchi Pe, Lama Tseden Jini, the Sungju Shini, Tachi Kashu Nyenji Jini, Dini Bangrim Jini Gyuwa Tayadi Ravas.
Suddenly
the process of, you know, transforming one's mind is by following one's Guru's steps of instructions.
We're looking online today, and we're reading Tibetan texts, you know, the books that are, you know, there. And I'm sitting there next to Yeshe and we're looking at this scroll. You can scroll page by page, and I'm thinking, wow, that's really great to be able to find that and be able to use it. And then he says, if they could only transfer that right into your mind. And not just read it. Which I thought was very funny because we all three of us were laughing because it was technology could actually like transfer the Dharma into us, you know. It would be so great.
Quran and the Tum Chiresha. Two of them came into the Tum than the Pages Love it. This year. Page love and Gisla, I didn't pick a shoe or what. Page love, the meek love, some seminal law recipe. Seminal law, you grow down or mother, meek law, and you shake and paint marriage. Yes, definitely. After all, practicing Dharma is transforming mind.
Good. On page 23, for example.
Thank you.